You see it over here? Asked me to speak about a specific topic, which will come up derech agav in what we're discussing, but like to deal with it in a different way. Yitzhak Isaac Shulman Shlita asked me about whether halacha can change. So we're not going to speak so much about that topic. We're going to speak about what are underlying that, the assumption of the question. But I told him very quickly, on the one hand, halacha certainly can change. On the other hand, halacha certainly cannot change. Which, in a nutshell, without fully getting into the issue, but getting into something else besides, HaTorah lo tehi mukhlefes v'lo tehi Torah acheres. That's one of the lashonos we use in the Animamin to express the Iker, the Yisod Emuna of the Rambam, that the Torah is unchangeable. Now the Torah is unchangeable, but circumstances require that the Torah be applied in every generation. And that's what's very important. This is where this idea is of a fundamental in understanding Torah Shabbat on the one hand, and on the other hand, if misunderstood, and this is why it's very dangerous, Baruch Hashem, I just learned yesterday in Rav Kook's the Nevuchei Ador, that the whole misunderstanding of the Reform movement was based upon a misunderstanding of this concept. So we have to make sure that we have the concept very clear in order to not misunderstand. On the other hand, the understanding of it is of fundamental importance. Now, if we had more time, and I don't know if we have more time before Pesach, but if we had more time, I would show you a couple of basic makoros on this issue. One of the most important basic makoros on this issue is the Hagdama of the Moshe Feinstein to the Igros Moshe. An extremely, extremely important Hagdama. If you guys understand, we like Hagdamas. The Hagdama of the Ksosia, I'll show you, is also important on this topic. As well as the Drosh, I can't remember, is it the Chvi or Chi, he quotes it here, of the Ran in the Drosh of Sarah. But in a nutshell, I want to give you something just to understand the importance of Limud HaTorah, Limud HaTorah, and what you guys are doing with Torah. What happens when you guys learn Torah? Are you guys trying to only learn what was said in the past? Or are you trying to, let's call it, be mechadish something that was never said? Or, like any good gushnik, what's the third option? A little bit of both. What do you think's right? Take a wild guess. A little bit of both. Alright? So what's this mean? So Maron Rabbana goes like this. We have something called Limud HaTorah Lishma. What is Limud HaTorah Lishma? What does it mean? Even more than understanding. Understanding is one element of it, right? Some say it's learning without eating and those types of things. Paragimel, just Tam Torah, but I'm joking. But the Nefesh HaChaim, based upon what the Rosh is understanding of the Gemara in the Dar and Daf Peves, says Leda, that's number one, to know, right, and understand. Leda, to know, Lahavin, to understand, Lahosif Lekach Upilpul. What's Lahosif Lekach Upilpul? Lahosif means to add something, right? What are we adding? Lekach Upilpul. What's Lekach? What's a lekach? Ki lekach tov nasati lechem Torah shi'atazom. Huh? I don't know. Anyone else? Lekach? Message. Even modern Hebrew. A message, a lesson. Right? A lekach is a lesson. Right? What's the lesson? Lahosif lekach, to learn a lesson, u'pilpul. Pilpul. What's a pilpul? A pilpul is a deepened understanding. So part of Limud HaTorah Lishma, which the Nefesh HaChaim explains, does that mean L'Shem Hashem? It means L'Shem Torah. It means being able to understand Torah, to know the Torah, to understand it. What's the difference between knowledge and understanding? Knowledge, number one, is not just knowledge. I have knowledge, right? Knowledge is intimate. connection to that which you know. Give me a raya that yediyah means intimacy. Very good. Vayeda adam eschava ishto. Vayeda, yediyah in the biblical sense, means to have a union, a relationship. Yediyah, and this is a point brought forth in the beginning of the Sefer Evan Shasia on Yud Gimli Kari Emuna. Yediyah does not just mean knowledge for a Jew. Yediyah means intimacy. So Leida means to know something intimately. The Torah that you know is not just in the back of your mind, it's something you connect to. Lahavin is the next step. What's Lahavin? What's Bina? You guys could call out. Mavin Davar, Mitoch Davar. Right? It's to discern. It's to be able to take that which you know, and you know intimately. And to be able to say, oh, well, if this is true, then this is also true. And then, Lahosif Lekach Upilpul, is to take that Torah and to translate it into a lesson, meaning something practical, and Pilpul. Pilpul is a deepened understanding of a much larger idea. So a big part of Talmud Torah is not just taking the knowledge of the past, but being able to develop that knowledge. Right? What is the concept of developing that knowledge? So, we understand that on the one hand, we are nothing compared to the Doros HaKadmor. Right? The Gemara says that HaRishonim Kemalochim, obviously the Gemara is not talking about the Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos, etc. came way after the Gemara, but the Rishonim, the earlier generations, are Kemalochim. Right? And we are Kechamorim. We're only like donkeys. Velo kechamoru shor Pinchas ben Yori. And we're not even like the chamoru of Pinchas ben Yori was makbid on mitzvos to an extreme degree. Alright, so we understand that on the one hand, we are extreme in the middle. However, there's two things going for us. What's going for us, number one? Very good. We're standing on giant shoulders. It's a beautiful song. You know this song, Standing on Giant Shoulders? Avram Fried? Stam, you gotta learn this song. You gotta get a copy of this song. He basically gives a medrash, but it's got a good voice, a little bit better than mine. And
if you want Isaac to listen, you have to find a synonym for the word song.
He doesn't like songs?
Not sure.
A zemer, right? It's a zemer chassidi.
Standing on giant soldiers, Seder.
I don't get it, but okay. But, Lamaise. We're standing on giant shoulders, which means that we're picking up where Exos left off. Not necessarily where Rashi left off. It's a little different, at least in the Achronim. We're picking up where the Achronim left off. Right? We have their words in front of us, and we're able to build and to develop, etc. Number two, which is a second part of this, standing on giant shoulders doesn't just mean that we have what exists in the past to work off of, but it also means, I'll tell you a story. The story is told. I think it's a story told of the Rashash, but the name doesn't make so much of a difference. The story is told that a big Talmud Chacham worked for an extremely long period of time in a certain Gemara, and he developed a whole tremendous chiddush. Tremendous chiddush. And then he went to the Beis Medrash to speak it over with people, and he went and he asked his Bam Kasha on the Gemara to a whole bunch of people. And some of the people said, you know, you're right, Bam Kasha. And then one guy came and said, oh no, based on this, pshat. And that was a whole pshat that Efshar was the Rashash, that's what I remember it being, had worked on for an extremely long period of time in order to understand. And whoever this Rav was, maybe the Rashash, felt bad. And he went to his rabbi, he said, well, I worked so much time on this Chiddush, etc. And, you know, this little guy, young guy in the yeshiva, in no time was able to come up with the whole thing. So his rabbi explained to him as follows. And it's not just the Chassidish and Maisa, even though they weren't Chassidim. What I'm saying, it's not even just the Maisa, it's something which I've seen it happen in real life. And he said, no, because when you were Mechadish this, you were Mechadish. What happened? You brought it down to the world. after it's in the world, it's for the taking. Meaning, when you work hard on something, and you bring it down, you give it mitzias. Now the Torah is not only bashamayim, but you've taken it, and you've brought it down to the world. And therefore, it's much easier for somebody else to be tofis it afterwards. Right? And it's very true. Sometimes you work very hard, and you have a chiddush, etc., and then it's clear, no one. After you have it, so then the world, it just starts going around. It's so understandable because the hard work has already been done. But then you have a part of the person who's mechanish is a part of that chiddush after. But what's the point? Number one, we're working off of what they have. Number two, what
don't
we have.
Then we have to learn our own decisions
from each other. Same with them. Part of what happens, and part of what I'm saying is, even if you don't see the Achronim, for you to figure out what the Achronim said is much easier than for them to say it. Originally. Not only that, I'm saying if you go and you develop, you learn about Kedushas Kahuna, let's say, right? And you give a Chabur and you say, Kedusha Niflaim, Lo Shamanu Meyoda. So some little whippersnapper, you know, some little kid from TABC or whatever, just opens up a mind kid and I say, yeah, so probably. That's my whole Chabur. But you brought it to life. You brought it to Mitzias in this world. Number two, and this is what is of fundamental importance, just practice, we're not going to get into this, but we also, Biyameinu, we have different situations than existed in the past, which means that we have to apply the Torah to situations that weren't applicable beforehand. You know, all the advances of technology. The one thing which is the most amazing, there is no advance in technology, virtually no advance in technology, that you can't find a sugya to discuss. And sometimes it's mamish exact that sugya. But what's it require? It requires us to look at that sugya in a way that wasn't looked at before. Meaning, for instance, a common example given for this is the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is one of the first people to deal with electricity. How does halacha view electricity? So the Chazon Ish had a tremendous chiddush that electricity is asur on Shabbos from the halacha of bone. Now, where do you get that from? He got it from an understanding of the sugya of bone, applying something which wouldn't have been applied before because we didn't. The concept of electricity was not understood before. So he had to go and look back at Malachu Shabbos and be able to look into Malachu Shabbos and to be able to understand their deep nature in order to apply it. But Maran V'Abono, there's also another thing, and that is a Pasuk in the Torah. The Pasuk in the Torah says, and this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein speaks about in his Hakdamah, Uvo El HaShofet Asher Yiyeh Bayamim. It says you go to the judge, you go to the Kohen, you go to the Kohen in your day and age. And where it says, well, what do you mean? Obviously, you're going to go and be Machai Mason, take a Kohen or a Shofet from the past. It says, no, Ein Lecha Ela Shofet Shebiyamech. Yiftach Bedoro Kishmua Bedoro. You only have the people in your generation. What does it mean you only have the people in your generation? It means very simply. It means, on the simplest understanding, right, and this is what Moshe Feinstein speaks about, the Torah kivayochol was given the job of translating to the common day and age to the gedolei chachamim of that generation. Now this is a very wild idea, and if misunderstood is very dangerous. And, I mean, I've looked it up, but I heard Rav Shechter say once, before the Rav Menashe Klein, the Mishnah Halachos wrote a whole thing against Rav Moshe's Hakdama. I haven't been able to find it after. Last time he said it this time? He should be there. Don't look at the
Kaya Chav Seder.
Okay,
I know who you're doing.
Huh? And this is what I want to translate into a different thing. Torah is a Torah Schaim. Torah being a Torah Schaim means the Torah is alive because the Torah is, those HaTorah Lotei Muchlefes, the rules of the Torah, the principles of the Torah, the understanding of the Torah is never changed. What developed is the applications of the Torah from generation to generation. And because of that, and because there is hitpatchut, because there is development, because there is development by definition, we have to develop Torah Shvapa. Meaning, we can't just say, okay, well, you know, as long as I know Rashi well, I'll know what to do beyond that. Why? Because in the time of Rashi, there was no biochemical warfare. Right? In the time of Rashi, they didn't know what genetic engineering was. Right? And Rav Kook has a whole beautiful idea that I dafka learned last night. But Rav Kook has a whole beautiful idea where Rav Kook says that to a certain degree the two go hand in hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely waited that there wouldn't be all the technological development until mankind prepared themselves along the way. There had to be some type of perfection in mankind. Now, we don't live in a very perfect world at all. But, you know, a good percentage of the world is in a much better state than it was at the time of Rashi. The world was killing each other every single day there. And they're killing each other, you know, pogroms, etc. Obviously a lot against Jews, but even brutal killings, etc. and all before HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensures that the Torah be that technology not be all given at once. You know, we always think, wow, we always have, you know, I'll tell you guys how old I am. When I was a little kid, we used to go almost every summer to Disney World. My father loved Disney World. We used to go to Epcot Center. I don't even know if they have these things anymore. No, there's no Disney World in this one. I heard they're building one, someone told me. But, no, we didn't live in this one. We went to Disney World in Florida, right? Beautiful Florida, right? And what happened? We went to Epcot Center. In Epcot Center, they had something called Future Land. So we're going to have these things in the future. So you know what they had there in Futureland? After a while, they realized they had to build something new because these things are already being developed. They had, like, in the year 2080, right? People will be able to talk to each other and see them. You know, like a Skype type thing. Moms, they thought, like, this is Futureland, right? So I was like, you know, it wasn't so long ago. But technological development was extremely quick. What happens to happen in kind? With all of that, you need your tchumen, and you need your asya, and you need all these different things, which are all the new shaylos that are coming up. Find them.
It's not halacha changing.
Correct. It's not halacha changing. It's circumstances changing. And it's not only, when I mean, sometimes with technological development, you also understand things better than they were originally understood. For instance, I'm not going to get into the halachic issue, but the Gemara in Shabbos would seem to say that if you have bugs that do not reproduce, they don't undergo pruvu, so it's mutter to kill them on Shabbos. Huh? Right. Now, if you accept that literally, so you could kill a lot of bugs on Shabbos. Right? The only problem is Louis Pasteur. Huh? Because basically they're not considered really alive.
Why would that lead to...
No, because they understood a lot of these bugs are not part of Eruv. Any bugs which they thought at the time, like Gemara, let's say, don't reproduce, they're not us. They're not us here to kill on Shabbos. Oh, so now we know that they do reproduce. So what do we do with this Gemara? One of three things. Either we say, we must have misunderstood the Gemara, and there must be a different child in the Gemara, which a number of poskim do try to do. The problem is that we've shown them understood the Gemara. Right? So we could maybe, you know, we understand the Gemara, and it is possible. You could, but it's a no mashmaka. Or you could come and say that the scientists are wrong. Right? The scientists are wrong, what the Gemara says is right. Or you could say something very different. And to say something which is science, which appears in the Gemara, is not Torah. Torah is the application, meaning whatever we would find that is not Parah V'Rava, that doesn't reproduce, is a Mutei Nekel on Shabbos, not considered alive. There's no Netilas Neshama. Now they thought to apply that to these types of bugs, but at the end of the day, we understand that those bugs aren't. That's how the Rambam and Moreh Nevuchim clearly understood. Moreh Nevuchim says science is not Bechal Torah. Right? And therefore, No. Physics and metaphysics, what he says is part of Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava. But that which is brought in the Gemara, that you know, like a scientific thing which is brought in the Gemara, it's part of Torah. Maisa Bereishis is part of Torah, something you should know. Right. I mean, but it's not, it's Dvarim Gedolim. Right? Dvarim Ketanim is Havayis Davai Berapa. But we need something that to understand. But the point is, it's not when it appears in the Gemara, it has nothing to do with Torah. When they were applying the scientific knowledge that they had of that day. So, if you talk about science changing, you develop. So, they're big machlokes, but the people who are more, let's say, more conservative on this issue, say that the Torah, kilu, halacha can change in these regards, they're more making. You know, you can kill a bug on Shabbos. Big machlokes is with, I don't eat fish. But bugs and fish, same type of thing. Are bugs and fish mutter? There are some people who say, based on modern science, the simple understanding of why these bugs and fish should be usher. Other people say, science is wrong. You know, simple understanding of why is correct. And it's mutter. Is that halacha changing? I don't view it as halacha changing. I mean, Rav Shechter told a Maisa once that he spoke about this topic. And, he spoke about this topic in a shul and someone about the topic of Tolai, and someone got up, an old man, that meaning now that we know scientifically, you know, that bugs are, these bugs do reproduce, that it would be usher to, would be usher to kill on Shabbos. So he said an old man in the shul got up and he said, Moshe MS, Kitoroso MS, you know, how could you say that, you know, something? So Rav Shechter said, he said, that's the exact shot. Moshe emes for Torah so emes. We know it's not emes, so it's not Torah. You know, so which was the Ram. That's what the Rambam said. I mean, the Rambam said that but I'm saying something even deeper, because this is a whole machlokas, and this is mamish. What is important, which is very important, and this is where Torah is meant to be lived as if it was given today. And if Torah was given today, that means it was given for the modern issues that come up. And the modern issues that come up are not only all the technological and scientific advancements. You know what it is? It's the way you are today. You guys have to learn Torah. But what happens when you learn Torah? And this is the Gemara he quotes, and I'll try to read it. But the Xos quotes the Gemara Menachos Daf Chavtes Amid Bey. What's the Gemara there? That's when Moshe Rabbeinu goes and sits in Shir of Rabbi Akiva, and he doesn't understand the word. If you don't understand Shir once, don't feel bad. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand Shir of Rabbi Akiva until at the end of the Shir, he said, "How do we know this? Halach Moshe Misidah." Moshe Rabbeinu flung back. So there are hundreds, literally hundreds, of pshatim in that Gemara. But one possible understanding, which the Ksos brings to a certain degree, is that, well, I don't want to get into that as the truth yet, we'll more say it in the way Ramosha says it, but the Chachamim, it's the same base, but the Chachamim have to translate Torah to our day. And once a chacham, meaning why is Rav Moshe write this in his Hakdama? Because Rav Moshe basically says, how do I have the right to pass on any shadows? So I'm not like the previous generations. So he proves that the Torah was meant to be given to the chacham in a generation to translate the Torah into the way they understand it, based upon the way they learn, based upon learning properly. This is a development of Torah which isn't a change. And the cook there says, maybe I'll read you that piece also. Beautiful piece. The Torah develops, But it's not a development which replaces the past. It's a development which works off the principles of the past. But not only does it work off the principles of the past, with this one, I had to learn chulin. I think it's an important Kiyumi Gemara, and Rav Rosenzweig, I think, writes about this also. But Gemara says, Makom hinichalo ben ha-shamayim nisgadlo. Regal achas, sometimes he could be mechadish something. It wasn't said before because that was Baruch Hu ensured that there'd be a place left for you in order to be mechadish. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the simplest way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to come and develop Torah. Ein beis medrash below chiddush. What's it mean, ein beis medrash below chiddush? So Reb Chaim Yevolozhin says in the Keter Rosh, it's quoted, doesn't mean that you're going to say something that was never said before. You'll understand something better than you ever understood before. That's ein beis medrash below chiddush. That's chiddush shei Torah, understanding Torah better. But it also means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ensured that there be certain things to allow the Torah to develop in each generation. You're not learning only an old Torah. You're learning with the old Torah to make it a Torah b'yameinu. That's why it's a Torah chayim, it's eternal life, because the Torah is eternal. So the Torah never changes. Halachic applications may change based upon new understanding, but there's never a replacement of the old. It's always taking the principles of the old, developing it, and understanding it better. But the most important thing is to know the Torah is personal. The Torah is where you take the past, and this is the Mesoda of Torah Shabbat, which is the most amazing thing the universe has ever known. And it's the reason why, very simply, the Torah and the Jewish people are still in existence. Because Torah never gets old.
Okay, so you mentioned circumstantial changes. What about societal changes?
I mean, sometimes societal changes will impact. For instance, there's a halacha brought in the Nosei Kevim Shulchan Aruch based upon earlier poskim. That you're not supposed to sit next. I think I mentioned you're not supposed to sit next to your father in davening. It's not covered. So b'yameinu, it's the opposite. Most fathers want their kids to sit next to them in shul, right? What's the halacha? Ritzono shel adam zeu kvodo. That's what the Rishonim say. What a person wants, how you mechabin someone, you do what they want. So in the past, fathers didn't want that. Now fathers do want that. So that societal change is by definition going to. I'm saying the written word, the written word is going to change, right? The principle. Correct. And I'll just add one thing. That's the reason why, with all the development of the world, also it enables people to stay. You know, if you don't have something which is unchanging, so you can change anything to make it fit the way you want it to be. In a nutshell, Avraham Avinu told Melech Stone, Ki amayti rak in yiras elokim ha'akom hazeh v'argunyan v'arishti. Why? I tell you something which may not be 100% true. Simple understanding, because I know that you would kill me for my wife. So the Farshim explained, what do you mean you'd kill me? Avraham Melech was coming and saying, I'm the most moral person in the world. And Avraham Avinu said, yeah, but you make your own moral laws. Anything can change to fit what's good for you at this point. So you make it moral to kill someone who has a beautiful husband, a beautiful wife, because the king should have the most beautiful wife. When any laws can be changed, so then it's worthless, because that's what Winston Churchill said, democracy is not a good system of justice. It's just the best of all laws. It's the worst of all laws. Because democracy means that, you know, certain people won't be able, ideal in democracy, certain people won't be able to abuse power. On the other hand, you know, if you get enough people to convince them to do something immoral, so you can moralize that also. Right? And there's a part of Torah which, no, you cannot change. But when it applies to society, because the Torah doesn't, but it's also not only that, we believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu develops society in a way where Alpida Torah. There's nothing within the world that is so servitory. It's just we have to know how to apply it. But the main thing for you, and this is the more important question, and now with halacha changes, if you want, you can look. I'm willing to get shiurim on this. I heard shiurim years back from Rabbi Tendler on this. Oh no, that sort of see there the Rav has a chiddush. The Rav says it's something which is in the parsha of Bereishis. You have to read that.
I read the shiur.
Oh, you could hear it. Yeah, you could also get the transcript online. It's called Talmud Torah and Kabbalah on Malkus Hashemayim. It's a beautiful, beautiful drash, but I could also tell you where the Rav himself says the opposite.
I know, they asked Rav Aaron one time what he meant by this. I asked him one time, it's a
very
complicated answer.
The Rav there says there's no finish. The Rav says there's no finish. All we
based
do
off
is
the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva that you can't go against
I mean, the Rav there has a very, and this, you have to understand the Rav, we're not in the Rav now. Maybe next year.
You're giving a source sheet, so I just want to add on.
No. So there, if I would tell you that Rama, I'd read you that Rama at the same time, and the Rama Munuvikash to Mishal, and Shilton Haseif, where the Rama says, anyone who says that there's no finish, never learned the Daf Gemara in their life. Mamsha. Beautiful, beautiful line there. He says, what are you going to tell me? Harambam Melchideish, Rabbi Yitan Melchideish, Reb Chaim Ish Brisk, Melchideish. No Chidusha? He says, Kol Mishomer Lemol Namad Daf Marav Yamav. He never learned the Daf Gemara. So here he says, no one was ever Mechadish. And you have to understand, that's the Rav at the same time. They're both true. No. The Rav spoke, number one. The Rav spoke to, the Rav was a mechanic par excellence. He spoke to his, he didn't write the Shira. The Shira is, they have a tape of it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying that the Rav, he spoke to the congregation, that he was, that's why I wanted to understand his Shita, but they're both true. Meaning, anyone who's mechadesh, not based upon the previous generations, they're off the charts. Anyone who's mechadesh based upon the previous generations, it's a chiddush in the sense that we're saying things that were never said. On the other hand, it's not a chiddush in the sense that it's not new. Right? This Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says the same idea. Chaim Shmulevitz quotes. Gemara says the Avos Rabbi Nosson says about Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Eliezer HaGadol, great Rabbi Eliezer. Argue with all the chachamim. So it says Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, right? Lo Amar Davar Shelo Shama Mipi Rabos. He never said anything they never heard from his rabbi. That's actually a Gemara which says it about Rabbi Elazar HaGadol. But yet the story says, in Avos Rabbi Nosson, where Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, you know Rabbi Elazar HaGadol became a Talmid Chacham? I'm not telling you to do this, especially not you, Aaron. But what happened is he was from a very wealthy family. And his father didn't want him to learn Hercules. His father didn't want him to learn. So he left his father. He left and he went to learn without, he had no money. Starving to death, a whole mamish, whole long story, whatever, until his father Hyrcanus was invited, was looking for his son, whatever, but was invited to the thing, and he heard this person be Doresh, and he gave him, and who was that? It was his son, right? And then his father agreed, okay, you can learn, etc., right? But Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, so he said, he was Doresh things that we never heard in the entire world. Which one is it? And he was Dorish in front of his Rabbein. So how can you say I never said anything? I didn't hear from my Rabbein. And on the other hand, he was Dorish things that were never heard in the world in front of his Rabbein. So what's Pshat? What's Pshat?
He
developed the understanding and the way of looking at things. That's what's called the Derech Halimut, right? Which people think you get in 2 days. No, you can get in a long time. You work hard. But you go and you develop and you further and you take the Yisod of Reb Chaim and you develop it, you know? And that's what's called, on the one hand, there's no Chiddush. On the other hand, anyone who's not Mechadesh, anyone who thinks there's no Chiddush, has never lived a day in the morning ever. But these, we can speak about this for days. But my main point is that when you learn Torah, it's alive. And because Torah is alive, and because society, Biyamein, is constantly changing, there's so much that has to be learned, there's so much that has to be understood. And therefore, we need to be standing on giant shoulders, and we need the technological advances which help us learn Torah more, because simultaneously they create so many more questions. That, yeah, it used to be society changed, you know, the Ksos, most of what the Ksos was dealing with were not things that didn't exist before. The truth is, the Ksos was already at the time of the beginning of the Haskalah and whatever, new questions starting to pop up. But for a long time, the major questions, not now, there are questions every single day. There's a new development, a new thing. Can this be used on Shabbos, etc.? So you have to be living with the Torah. You have to make it alive. You have to realize you are the shofet asheyeh bayamim ahem. Nakdama to your sefer, you'll quote Rav Moshe, and then you'll work off of Rav Moshe and have an even bigger chiddush of why it is that you have to be passing the halacha and saying things for your name.
Is there a value to learning things that were said in the past without developing them?
There for sure is, because some of the stuff even that's learned from the past we're not supposed to develop. I mean, shittas Beishamai enu mishnah, right? Beishamai, we can't say, oh, Beishamai said this, so therefore we're going to apply it. Anything which is Torah, there's a point in learning. But Leida Lahavi Lahosif Lekachu Pilpul, that third stage of Lahosif Lekachu Pilpul is more applicable in the things that are brought by Halacha. And if you look, Rabbi Yona seems to say, you know what Talmud Torah the Shema is? The Mishnah says, Lo Meidam Anasa Lami, Maspim Yadu Lomo Lami. Lo Meidam Anasa Lassos, Maspim Yadu Lomo Lami, Lishma Lassos. Look at Rabbi Yona, then the highest degree of Talmud Torah is Shehu Toreach Kamayamim Vishonim, days and years, in order to understand one halachic application to that, what he's learning. We're off topic. But the point is that developing the Torah and applying it, etc., is Torah Lishma to the greatest degree. There's for sure a purpose, you know, just reading Torah. And many people say, you read Torah, and if you don't understand it, look in Rav Asher, Vice is safer. And, Minchas Asher and Talmud Torah, a little safer, he has there whether it's really true or not. This Philip in Torah Shvab and Torah Shvab. That Torah Shvab, Torah Shvab, you're Yotzim into Talmud Torah. Even if you don't understand the Torah Shvab, you're only Yotzim if you do understand. I think he is against it there, if I remember correctly. Even though Pi Svara, it's pretty positive. I think he says you're Yotzim no matter what. You're just Dargos of Talmud Torah. I mean, the same way, it could be Yotzim, you know, like some people have a car. You know, drive, and some people have, you know, a Mercedes, right? So most people, you know, don't want a Mercedes because it's a German car, right? You want a car that just drives. I'm saying, you know, like you hear what I'm saying? Good. That's the beginning, but you're working. This is a life. Yeah. Torah is alive. That's important. We didn't even read. You read the Hakdama Leksof. It's not long. Even though we didn't get to the beautiful part, the Akdama Leksos is very short, and it's very important.